There we go. Today's gospel is the continuation of the story of the multiplication of the loaves from last week in John chapter 6. And that itself was imagined in the setup of our lectionary as a continuation of the week before that, which was Jesus teaching many on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, which the church imagines is the same time that Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, the Mount of the Feeding of the 5,000 on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And now they've crossed over the sea, although it's a little bit of a misnomer to say across the sea, because what you're dealing with here is the side of a big old lake, and they went from here to here about 5 or 6 miles up to Capernaum. But they call it across the lake here since they took boats. That was easier than walking. But in this case, the disciples actually ran into a storm at sea, and in the middle of the night, Jesus decides to come down from the mountain where he was praying, and he walks across the sea like it's no big deal, and he passes by the boat with the disciples in it, and they're struggling against the wind, and they see him, and they freak out, and they say, "Oh, it's you, Lord. Come on, get in the boat." And before he can get in the boat, it looks like he's refusing anyway, they suddenly find themselves at Capernaum. And then the people who were on the mount where they were fed wake up in the morning and they say, "Hey, wasn't Jesus on top of that mountain when we went to bed? Where is he?" And then they get word that he's in Capernaum. So they get in boats too, and they head up and catch up with him. But they know that Jesus didn't get in the boat with the disciples. Hence the question that starts this all off with, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" They're a little confused. But Jesus starts to do one of his classic moves here, and that will be the subject of this homily. Namely, how Jesus moves people from their everyday experiences, their everyday desires, to heavenly experiences and heavenly desires. He did that just 2 chapters earlier with the Samaritan woman at the well, who he asked her for some water, even though she was the thirsty one, and he works through that desire for water and to be sated of thirst to the desire for God and the desire to be refreshed spiritually. And he brings about her conversion and effectively makes her a disciple to the whole Samaritan region that she was in. Even a few chapters before that, he does the same kind of thing with Nicodemus, who was struggling to understand the concept of being born again. He took it kind of literalized on his misunderstanding of what on earth he was talking about, because whoever talked about being born again before Jesus? And he brought Nicodemus to understand that there was some new kind of life that was good, and he should desire that. And we see that this would carry Nicodemus through even to the end of the gospel as someone who was seeking after the Lord. Now we have these people who were just fed with bread miraculously, a feeding of more than 5,000 people. But Jesus, before the conversation is even really started, comes in and kind of insults them. And he says, "Please, you're not looking for me because you see these signs and you think I'm the prophet and you want to make me king. You just want more bread. You want to fill your bellies." And I imagine that they're taken aback by this response, but they probably also realize, well, yeah, we would like food. That's a pretty good thing. They're at a very physical needs level of thinking, I get hungry every day, a couple times a day. I would like food. If God can take care of me in that way through his prophet, this prophet who just brought us a bunch of bread, I'll take that. That's wonderful. That's good. And I'll make him my king. But Jesus says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, that the Son of Man, me, I am going to give to you. And so you can imagine they're saying, wait, there's bread that doesn't go bad? What are you talking about? Even the manna in the desert that Moses fed the people with every day, if you collected more of that manna than you needed for that day, you'd find out that it was rotten the next morning, good for nothing. You had to collect only what was good for the day, and that was it, and you had to work for it. And even that stopped. So what is this food that doesn't go bad? They're thinking about a literal not rotting here. And so they say to him, especially since he's claimed to be the Son of God, the one on whom God has set his seal, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? This is a question that all of us have. We want to know what we can do to please God. We want to know what it takes to do the right thing so that we can be saved and enjoy the life to come. We all ask that question, and we have somebody here, Jesus, saying, well, you got to do the works of God. And so they say, show me, what are the things? Tell me. I'd really like to know. And we're asking the same things. We want to know the same things. You hear me up here talking about accomplishing the works of God, but you want to know, what are those things? How do we do this? Well, Jesus lays it out plain and simple. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent, namely in Jesus. Whew. We've got that one covered, don't we? It's not the clearest thing, however, to these people that Jesus is talking to. They believe that he's the prophet, the great prophet coming after Moses. But God? They aren't quite sold on that. There's nothing to prepare them for that idea that Jesus isn't just a prophet and the rightful king of Israel. And so they say, hold on a minute. You've got to prove this, because you've proved that you're a prophet in giving us a lot of bread. But even that isn't quite as impressive as what Moses did in bringing about this manna that appeared on the ground for 40 years. You just fed us once. So they say, what sign can you do that we may see and believe that you're more than a prophet? Because after all, our ancestors ate manna. What can you do that's better than that? But Jesus catches them in a misunderstanding they have about the scriptures. He says, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It was God. God was the one who gave the bread from heaven. Moses was just the representative who, if you look at the whole story of the giving of the manna, he really had nothing to do with it. He didn't even ask God for it. He just told the people, quit your whining. But God satisfied the need of the people. So Jesus is still here working with the misunderstanding of the folks that he's talking to. And he says, Moses didn't give the bread from heaven. God gave it. But what's more than that, that manna in the desert, that went bad. That rotted within a day. And it was God's desire that the people would go into the promised land and stop receiving the manna and begin to work for the food that the land gave. So what can be better? What can be better than the bread that came down from heaven? What is the thing that Jesus can give that really shows who he is and thwarts the ideas of those who would be interested only in physical food? Bread that lasts for eternal life. And so they say, Sir, give us this bread always. They're starting to think a little more spiritually now. And then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Wow. He's not talking about the Eucharist yet, actually. He's going to get to that in the coming weeks, and we'll hear about it. But now what he's talking about is the idea that we have to listen to God, we have to obey God, we have to love him and remain with him in order to have eternal life. Deuteronomy had said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we believe, as Christians, that Jesus Christ is the word that God spoke, the word of God that who is revealed to us in the scriptures. And so our reliance needs to be on this bread that came down from heaven, this metaphorical bread which sustains us spiritually, which gives us the strength to do God's will, that helps us to have spiritual aspirations instead of simply physical ones. The bread that helps us to not live as the Gentiles do with the frivolity of their minds, with their thoughts darkened, as St. Paul says, but rather with minds made clear, able to understand the laws of God. Jesus is that bread, but we must listen to him to receive him. And that point will lead us into the reflections on the sacrament of the Eucharist in the coming weeks. Because the sacrament of Jesus Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, gives us in a very real way himself so that we can receive his word. It's sort of a cycle in which if we receive his word, we want to receive him. And when we want to receive him, we're more attentive to his word. It's a cycle that leads us up rather than a vicious cycle leading us down. It is a cycle of the truth. It is the feeding that we need for eternal life. Therefore, let us listen to what God has to say. Let us listen to what Jesus Christ and his church teach about how to obtain eternal life. Let us eat the bread of heaven and live forever. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.